I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat is Spanish football scout and journalist David Cartledge. David Cartledge is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, which does discuss Atletico's goalless draw with Real Betis on Sunday, but does not focus on it as we take the bigger picture approach with Arsenal looming on Thursday. We do talk about the Betis match, however, including Diego Simeone's quote-unquote rotations, i.e. doing what he can with the small squad that he has, Jan Oblak's post-game remarks, which cast fresh doubts on his future, the pairing of Atleti's two future center backs in this game, and David gives his perspective on the growth and evolution of Angel Correa and whether he really can be an Antoine Griezmann replacement. All that in addition to a big preview of Thursday night's clash at the Emirates, what Simeone's team might look like, Arsenal's fresh motivations after Arsene Wenger announced he would not return next season, predictions, and then some. However, before we launch into this jam-packed episode of Colchonero Chat, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave a rating and a review while you're at it. Really helps to get more eyes and ears on the program and helps us out here on the show. Finally, head over to the Patreon page, patreon.com/colchonerochat, if you want access to some pretty cool benefits. There is no Rumor Roundup pod today, but look for one on Thursday. Thursday Rumor Roundup for current and future Colchonero Chat amigos. Remember, you can listen to bonus pods from as little as $1 a month. Patreon.com/ColchoneroChat. We'll be back with David Cartledge after this. We'll talk all about that. Let's do a quick recap of the weekend, the whip around, the Copa del Rey final. On Friday, Leganés and Depor playing out a goalless draw. Depor, not what they needed. They're unbeaten in four, but 6 points back of Levante. And if Levante beat Athletic tonight, that's pretty much good night for Depor, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've made some they've made progress under Sidoff. You know, that can't be denied. They had some wins, but they've also had some draws recently. And I think at this stage of the season, you can't be drawing games. You need wins. You really do, especially when teams around you like Levante have won games.
Yep, not a shot on target for Leganés, but their 14th clean sheet of the season, just continuing what's been a pretty impressive year at Butarque. On Saturday, Eibar nil, Getafe 1. A good win for Getafe. Not so great on the road, but that's their third straight win overall. Celta and Valencia playing out a pretty entertaining 1-1 draw. Santimina and Maxi Gomez, the goal scorers. And the Copa del Rey final on Saturday night. It wasn't very good viewing, especially if you're a Sevilla fan. 5-0 to Barcelona. Montella's out, right?
Yeah, I think they're just deciding when to do it. I think they'd like to do it now. They've asked Joaquin Caparrós to come back and just for the last few games, but he's unwilling to. He wants a longer contract. He wants to be there for a while, which is understandable. So yeah, I think they're just looking for somebody to take over the last few games, quite frankly, and then go back to the drawing board as far as the future goes in the summer.
It's just been such a crazy season. Crazy doesn't even begin to describe the kind of season it's been at Sevilla. It's just been strange.
It's madness, and they're probably not going to have European football right now, which is a disaster for Sevilla, because financially they rely on that money in a big way. Obviously, they will have to make player sales. Therefore, I mean, they always do, but maybe this year there has to be one or two more than usual, which is really unfortunate, I think, for one of Spain's apparent big clubs, that they're probably going to have to take a few steps back in the summer to move forward.
Yeah, that's going to be a real shame. I wonder how they're going to rebuild, basically, because they're going to have to.
Yeah.
3 points back of Villarreal for that final Europa League place. On Sunday, Espanyol, the new manager bounce, David. 2-0 win at Girona with two Gerard Moreno goals. He's a really good player, and that's a good win for Espanyol. That's very well done after Quique Sanchez Flores was shown the exit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think things have become, I was going to say stale, but no, things have just become completely, utterly lifeless, just dead at Espanyol under Quique. and yeah, they made you know, I think they'd probably be questioned by a few to say, what's the point in getting rid of your coach now? But I think the situation had reached just a terrible, terrible point, I think, with players and just general the atmosphere at the club was just horrendous. Very, very toxic, I think, in the stands as well. And I think Espanyol actually did the right thing. I don't think they've done many right things as a club recently, but that was a good decision, I thought. And then, yeah, they can hopefully play with a bit more attitude and see the season out. And, you know, I think they've been lucky because this bad form has come about just at the right time, because I think there's a lot more, there's teams far, far worse than them.
Yeah, a couple of the teams we're going to talk about next are much worse than them. Malaga is one of them, but they beat Real Sociedad 2-0. That's, I think you wrote this on Twitter, it's the most Real Sociedad sequence of events of all time, beating Atletico, thrashing Atletico, and then losing 2-0 to Malaga, despite not committing a single foul all game.
Yeah, it's just what I said. It's very, very Real Sociedad, like, to hammer Atleti and then go and lose to Malaga again, the team they've lost twice to now this season. The only team that Malaga, the worst team in Spain, have done the double over, which is just incredible. And yeah, Real Sociedad, no fouls committed. They're a soft touch of a team. They just turn up when they are on TV, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Las Palmas haven't been showing up for anybody lately, and they're paying the price. 4-0 losers at home to Alaves, that confirms their relegation with 4 weeks to go. Just an incredibly sad sequence of events, dating back really to last spring when Quique Setién started falling out with the club. It's culminated in this. Really sad to see Las Palmas go down.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's sad, but at the same time, very justified. And I think that defeat was also, you know, it underlined, I think, what an embarrassment I think Las Palmas had been this season and how they have been run for quite some time. When Setién left, there was an air in the club of like, oh, we'll move on to better things now, which I found astounding. I don't think they really realised what they had in Quique Setién. They probably do now because they're getting relegated, and Betis probably is one of the most exciting teams, impressive teams to watch in Spain at the moment.
Yeah, it's a shame. And Paco Gemes not doing his reputation any favors with what's gone on here the last several weeks, as Las Palmas winless in 12, and they are going down. Before we talk about Atletico, Athletic and Levante play tonight, Monday night. Could be an interesting game at San Mamés. Levante pretty much safe, but they can essentially confirm that by beating Athletic, or even drawing with Athletic. Honestly, that should be enough to do it. But back to Sunday night at the Wanda Metropolitano, where it finished 0-0 between Atletico and Real Betis. The fourth goalless draw of the season in La Liga for Atletico. 15 of their 34 games have been either 0-0 or 1-0, so really leaning into the stereotype this season with those kinds of tight results. But the game itself doesn't so much matter as what the game represents and what's ahead, particularly on Thursday. But just a little bit about the game. David, general thoughts on what you saw? Anything new or exciting that you saw from this game?
No, nothing really stood out. I think, you know, it's understandable that, you know, there's a lot of zeros kicking about in terms of how both teams are keeping goals out at the moment. It was Betis's sixth straight clean sheet. And I think this game was earlier in the season. It might have finished 2-2. But the both teams are in a moment where they're very strong defensively at the moment, I think. So it's understandable that the game played out in the manner that it did. Very tactical affair, I think, very cagey at times. I think Betis were worried a little bit about the results that happened around them. Girona had won as well, and Getafe had won as well, teams that could well put pressure on them. So they didn't really want to lose this game, so they had that in the back of their minds, so they should have shot a little bit more than usual. And Atleti didn't really have any major urgency to go for the win, because their big game is midweek.
Yeah, it kind of played out somewhat as expected. Yeah, very cagey, as you said. Both games against Betis kind of played out in a similar way. The one in December was even more negative from Atletico, when Betis rang up 75% possession and still lost 1-0. This was about 67-68% possession and a goalless draw, but very similar games, very prolonged spells of possession for Betis in in Atletico territory throughout, but nothing really too dangerous. Oblak had to make a few saves, but nothing too, you know, incredible from a shot stopper. Yeah, the big game is on Thursday, and we'll talk about that. But I don't really have many problems with how Simeone approached it. He had to rotate. Well, rotate is I use loosely because he doesn't have a big squad right now. It's basically replacing really tired players with less really tired players at this stage of the season. Still kept a clean sheet. Have not conceded at a stadium called Wanda since January 20th. That's a remarkable run. I think that's 11 straight clean sheets there now. Just incredible.
Yep.
You think they can go unbeaten? They got two games left, Espanyol and Eibar.
Yeah, completely. I think they're in a good position to do that, and that's a nice way to close out the season. I think they could potentially just go unbeaten generally. I can see them drawing one leg against, I mean, we'll get onto it soon, but I can see them drawing one leg against Arsenal and then winning the other, and then obviously winning the final. Just makes sense. So, yeah, I think they could see the season out unbeaten altogether.
Yeah, I think a lot of Atletico fans are going to like you very much for saying that. You're going to win a few fans there. I don't think it's a bad result. I mean, Betis have been just in scorching form. That is their sixth consecutive clean sheet, which who'd have thunk it that this Betis team would keep six clean sheets at any stage of the season, let alone consecutively. Just a remarkable season for them. They're going to be in Europa League for sure. What's made them so much better defensively? Has it just been Bartra's addition, or has it been something else that you've seen?
Yeah, I'm going to give a lot of credit to Bartra. I'm going to say it's 90% him. I think Kike Setien has also wised up a little bit and from his old ways and realized that, you know, he has to build a defensive system. Absolutely. I don't think they attack with the aplomb that they used to. I still think they attack very well, but I think they're a lot more conservative. That is not a negative thing by any means at all, because if they didn't do it, they'd be like Celta right now and maybe mid-table and chasing the European slots from afar and hoping that other teams slip up. But they're not. Betis are in control of their own fate. That is because they've matured over the course of the season, and they made just an incredible sign with Bartra. That was just the fact that he was available was just such a ridiculous thing, and that they brought him in. Honestly, they couldn't have wished in their wildest dreams for that to happen, because it was something they didn't plan for. I know he's a player they liked, but they just didn't really see a window for, you know, opportunity in terms of bringing him in.
It's just too perfect to fit, honestly, with his style of play and what he brings.
Yeah.
His skill set, just too perfect to fit. And between him and Jordi Amat and Mandi, that back three has just been impeccable for him.
Yeah. It just skips an adaptation phase. I think he came in, he understood what Setien required, the style that Betis were striving for. And he showed them how to play it, I think. And it's key to have those players on the field who understand that system and know what the manager requires. And it's filtered through to the rest of the players as well. Having Bartra there, it's a lot more security, I think, for the goalkeeper, for the other defenders. For the midfield, life is easier because they have an easier out ball coming from the back line, which they can work with. That means that the player doesn't have to... Fabian can play more advanced. He doesn't have to keep dropping in and picking the ball up off a centre-back. And Bartra's a good defender as well. So we talk about his attacking contribution a lot, but he's also a very, very good defender. And I just think it's just been a fantastic signing, and it's great to see.
Yeah, you mentioned Fabian. He was very good yesterday. The way he just controls play in their midfield is so impressive. Yeah. It's like they don't miss Danny Ceballos.
No, they don't. They don't. No. You know, Fabian has just been a revelation. I've got a piece coming out soon, and I've named him one of my best young players of the season.
Mm.
He's just been sensational, especially his attitude in the bigger games. He seems to take more responsibility and rise to the occasion, which is always fantastic to see in such a young player, that character.
Yeah, I think he'd be a really good fit in Atletico's midfield, especially if this team continues to start someone like Gabby. Now, Gabby, as great as he is and great as he's been, you see it too, right? You see that he's slowed down just so massively this season. Key passes on Sunday, but dribbled past 9 times. Whopping 9 times. He's really aged before our eyes this season. It's been kind of sad from an Atletico perspective.
Yeah, he's a lot of these especially from the initial core of when Simeone first came in, a lot of them players have played a lot of football. So we're talking about Koke, Gabi, Juan Fran, Felipe Luis. These guys they played a lot of football at Godin as well. You know, there's several of them. They've played a lot of football. And obviously, for certain players, they can stand it because their bodies are still growing and they're developing as players. And then other ones are in, you know, getting towards the end of their careers. Gabi is in that group. So it's going to hit him quite hard, I think. And his minutes have to be managed better. And I think we all kind of know that Atleti's probably brought Rodri in, and that, you know, that directly impacts Gabi, I think.
Yeah, Rodri coming in, I've talked about this a lot on Twitter to a lot of very angry Atletico supporters watching this team attack week in and week out, especially without Costa in the team. Just, I keep harping on this in Twitter and on the site and on the podcast, just how much Rodri's going to help this team. Like, with Rodri coming in, I think it has the potential to solve just about all of Atletico's solidity and ball circulation problems in the midfield. Because, yeah, Rodri is a single pivot. Koke and Saul running in front of him, creating chances for Costa and Griezmann or Correa, or whoever's next to Costa next season. I just think Rodri is the key to all of this. He could solve all of this.
Yeah, because he's not a one-track midfielder. He's a screen for the defense. You know, he's leading in recuperations this season in terms of winning the ball back. But from a passing perspective as well, he's also making the most passes in the Liga. So a lot of which are forward, by the way. The higher percentage are forward passes, what he's making as well. So again, it's like we were talking about with Bartra as well. He's a good transition player in terms of defensive transition. He will help the team fall back better. He's quicker, he's sharper, he won't let as many players past him like Gabi does. And then in an attacking sense as well, he will take the ball off the back line because Atleti haven't really got any defenders who you would say are extremely competent on the ball, who are ball-playing defenders. They just don't play like that.
Right.
They have stopper centre-backs. So you need a player in deep midfield who is good on the ball to initiate attacks, and that's a problem that Atleti have had at times, to come out of defence quickly, and Rodri will facilitate a quicker offensive transition.
Yeah, but that, unfortunately, Atletico can't bring him in now. That is for next season. And everything you've heard says it's happening. Like, I haven't seen or heard anything different.
Yeah, absolutely. It just feels like it's common knowledge.
Speaking of ball-playing centre-back, so you're saying Stefan Savic is not great with the ball at his feet. Is that what you're saying right now?
That is what I'm saying. Yeah. I think Jimenez is probably the best player with the ball at his feet. But as we know, he's not really a regular, so he's not there to do that more. And also, he's stronger in other areas.
Yeah, Jimenez made a couple errors yesterday that were really kind of they were like old school Jimenez errors, like the errors he'd make a couple of years ago, just gifting the ball. He's basically gave the ball to Javi Garcia, who scuffed it wide at the end of the first half.
Just a lack of playing time, just a little bit of a rust. He's been out the team, you know, so it's understandable. I think on one level, you try to impress a little bit too much. And then also as well, you're just a little bit off rhythm, and that's all it was. But Jimenez is an outstanding player, and I give him a contract for the next 10 years at Atleti. So yeah, I don't mind if he makes these errors.
Oh, absolutely. And I wrote about this over the last international break, just how Jimenez, when he's played, has just reinvented Atletico's defense. He had that run of games in February and March when Savic was out, and Atletico were brilliant over most of that stretch, notching a few of their biggest wins of the season in terms of goal difference, in terms of scoring. Then Savic comes in. The team doesn't score at all. The team has won, you know, only half the games Godin and Savic have started together. So you see just a marked difference, and from shot locations as well, how close these shots are when Godin and Savic play together, because they're two static defenders.
Yeah, exactly. And Jimenez is anything but that. He's very aggressive. He likes to go to the ball a lot. I know some coaches frown upon players who do that. They'd rather you hold your position and they'd rather you be more aware of what's around you, and then others encourage a player to be aggressive and actively press the man on the ball. Jimenez is just that one of those players who likes to go to the ball. He likes to solve problems.
Yep, he does. Lucas as well. Lucas, I think, has had just a brilliant season. Jimenez and Lucas have just got to be the future of this defense. And I think we are as close to that point of identifying the future as we've been, you know, since Simeone took over, with Godin turning 32 and Savic being, well, Savic. Jimenez and Lucas have got to be the future, and I think you've got to make that move next year. I'm not saying bench Godin starting next year, but it's time to phase him out. It's getting
too I couldn't agree more. Again, it's probably blasphemy in some sections of Atleti fandom, but no, I think it's a sensible thing. You have to get to that point and judge it correctly,
And Lucas can't be playing left back much longer. Atletico have no choice right now because of Felipe's injury, and Simeone doesn't want to use Sergi or the inexperienced academy kids. But yeah, it's better for Lucas's development if he's a center back. And I think next season you have to just make the call and go with Jimenez and Lucas as your center backs. Bring Godin in every now and then because he's still very good. I mean, the last couple of seasons, I think he's kind of suffered from not having a really reliable partner. But I think you have to make that transition. And honestly, it could have been done this season. Honestly.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah, probably could have. But we know Simeone. He's always, he delays with things like this because we've seen what happened in the right back situation and what happened with the midfield situation as well. So it's kind of understandable. It's a slow process.
Yeah, speaking of the right back situation, I Juan Fran, the club just confirmed Juan Fran's injury, hamstring injury again. So I'm going to say he misses the rest of the season. I wouldn't count on him coming back. Just how essential is it that this team finds a fullback in the summer? Like, when the window opens, they have to find one, I think.
Yeah, they really do. They have to find a very competent one to battle with Recalco, and hopefully now Recalco is and is placing Levy as a regular, which would be good. So it's just a case of maybe finding a fullback who's got potential, but also can deliver now.
Essential that Atletico find.
I genuinely think Johnny from Celta would be just an outstanding signing. The fact that he can play left back very well, he's also able to play at right back, and he can play at centre back, and it would just make so much sense. And they could probably get him for about 12 or 13 million as well. For me, it's just a no-brainer.
Yeah, Johnny is a player I've liked for a while. I definitely rate him. He's had a few really good years at Celta. Bitolo and Correa both started this game for Atletico. We haven't seen that very much. Bitolo, it's been kind of up and down for him. He didn't get a whole lot of time. I wonder what would have happened if Simeone had attacked Barcelona with the lineup he threw in for the Madrid derby. I just wonder what would have happened if he'd started Bitolo at Camp Nou instead of or in addition to at the Bernabeu. But that is, that's in the past. Bygones be bygones. Correa, I think, for me, has been, at times, player of the season. At other times, he's been maddening. From a scouting perspective, David, what have you made of his growth and his development this season? What have you seen from him that you didn't see in previous seasons? It's clear he's incredibly talented, but what's still missing with Correa?
I think he's learned to be better on the ball, more certainly. But I just think he's a type of player that is very impactful. You can't really feature him over long spells of time. I just don't think he's ever going to be that player in his career, unless something dramatically changes. I just don't think he has that mentality, to be honest with you. He's an impact player, and I think he just always will be. I know people have him pinned down to be Griezmann's successor potentially, but I just don't see it at all. I think, again, he's very, very talented and he's got his place, and I don't think it is leading the team. I wouldn't trust him. I don't think Simeone trusts him enough. He's brilliant to bring on as an alternative outlet and to drive at teams, but I don't think you can base your attacking system around him.
And that's interesting you say that, because I've mooted that before, that Correa is, an in-house option should Griezmann leave. Because, honestly, they have similar profiles, that they play a similar type of way at times. And Correa doesn't have Griezmann's vision.
Had to show a lot more this season to show that he could justify playing that role as Griezmann's successor. But I don't think he's even got close to showing that he's capable of it, quite frankly, even though this has probably been his best season at Leti. I just think that's how it is.
yeah, there's so much more growing he has to do. Yeah, this is the first season he's really gotten this kind of role and run with it. I mean, he's made 25 starts in La Liga. Like, he didn't make 25 appearances his first year. You know, yeah. So this is, in terms of a minutes and an increased role, from that standpoint, it's been a big season for him. But yeah, there's just, he's missing that final piece. And he is very impactful, but it's just a matter of when you're going to get it out of him and in what game situation.
Yeah, I honestly don't see him getting a lot better than from what he currently is. I think he will get a little bit better, but I don't think he's ever going to be a top player and an elite player by any means.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. If Griezmann leaves / when.
I think Atleti's in a great position to build because they've probably cleared out a lot of players they didn't want already. Torres, we all know about as well. So Simeone knows what he has got to work with next season already in terms of the squad at his disposal. So it's kind of going to be easy for him to know what he wants, I think, in the squad than ever before, because he doesn't have to say, oh, well, we've got Correa for that position and Carrasco for that position and Vitolo for that position, because he's had Carrasco taken away, so he's had some of the problems taken away, shall we say. So yeah, I think it could be a very positive summer for Atleti, to be honest with you.
Speaking of the summer, Jan Oblak said some very interesting things after the match yesterday, / ominous things. He was asked about his future, his contract situation. He said, I have a contract till 2021. I'm happy here. If I stay at Atleti, we'll grow together. If I leave, they will grow themselves. We'll see. And I think more than a few Atletico fans were a little nervous at hearing Oblak say those words. What did you make of them?
I think it's understandable. I think it's from a player who maybe feels that Europa, within the Europa League, might be the best way to sign off at Atleti, which would kind of make sense. And he would feel that he's done all he can, and he's incredible beat record, for instance. And it's just a case of looking at what else can I do here at this club. Where are they going? I'm not saying Atleti aren't going anywhere. Of course they're going somewhere. They're in a good position, like I just said. But yeah, he just might feel he's done all he can. You know, just want a new challenge. Sometimes players just want new challenges, and that would make sense to me.
I would prioritize keeping Oblak over anyone else, including Griezmann. But I understand why the club.
I would as well. Absolutely. I think it's the goalkeeping market is very, very difficult to navigate, and to bring in somebody to the level of Oblak. Whereas I think with attackers, you could probably buy somebody with the potential to reach Griezmann's level, or several players to accommodate for his loss.
Yeah, when you have a goalkeeper as good as Oblak is, arguably the best in the world, when you have a goalkeeper as good as him, you don't let that guy go. But it seems Atleti have made this a choice between Oblak and Griezmann, and they are leaning toward Griezmann because, I mean, I understand why. I don't agree with it, but I understand why, because Griezmann is their most marketable player. And Griezmann is the guy who they view has the most impact. Simeone has put on multiple public appeals for Griezmann to stay. It sent what amounts to public appeals and press conferences lately. And
yeah,
I don't know for sure if it's a 1v1 decision, if it's Oblak versus Griezmann. But Koke said it best after one of the Europa League games recently. If I were in charge of the club, I'd give Oblak a blank check. And I agree with him. This is a guy who you can't let him go. Atletico's defense has remained strong this season, mostly because of Oblak, not because the defense has actually been great.
Yeah, precisely. He's really built them out. I try telling this to people, I would keep clean sheets in that Atleti system. I would keep clean sheets with Simeone as my manager. No, you wouldn't, because Oblak's an astounding keeper. Some of the saves he's made this season defy belief. And he's top three in the world. I wrote for 442 that he is the best in the world. I honestly believe that as well. I think De Gea and Oblak are out there on their own in terms of how good they are.
Yeah, he's amazing. And I think if he goes, it's a decision that Atletico will possibly regret for many years, because you just don't find someone of that caliber easily. Like, bringing back Thibaut Courtois would be, I think, the best possible. He'd be the best possible replacement, but that's an incredibly hard operation to do. especially with Real Madrid wanting him potentially and so on. So how about just don't sell Oblak and, you know, make your money elsewhere? I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
last thing, Betis related, before we talk about the Europa League. Atletico against the top six this season. Two wins, six draws, two defeats. Last season's record, two wins, two draws, six defeats. So that's four wins against eight draws and eight losses against the top six the last two seasons. Atletico had five top six wins in 2015-16 alone. Just that one season.
Yeah,
four wins out of 20 against the top six. Not good. What's been the difference there? Why haven't Atleti been able to beat top six teams in La Liga in the last 2 years?
I think it's just getting caught in two minds what to do. It goes back to this negativity factor as well. I think Atleti underestimate themselves in these games. They become a little bit more negative. They become a little bit more cautious. They doubt their own ability, and I think if they were more positive, they would probably beat these teams. And it's a shame because it's probably had a big say in the fact that they are not closer with Barcelona as the running begins. Because if they had won those games against the big teams directly, then they'd be in a position to challenge properly. But unfortunately, right now they're not because of that. And again, I just think it goes back to this negativity that we all know very much about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, watching Atletico this season has at times it's been a struggle. I'm not gonna lie, it's been a struggle with the negativity. It's been much more pronounced and more prominent at certain points this season, particularly in the first half of the season without Costa. It's been a challenge, but you make it through. It builds character. That's how I look at it. It's a built character.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just think Simeone has. I mean, Simeone believes in these players. You know, he really, really does. But I think he should maybe believe in them to the level of how they can attack together. Yeah. He's got some good attacking components there. They will likely add a few more, potentially, in the summer. Sometimes they should be let off the leash. And it's definitely, I think, the thing that he has to look at the most over the summer is how we can combat that playing against the bigger teams.
Like, Saul cannot be playing as, you know, a left back. You know, he can't be shielding the defense. Yeah. You need to let Saul be free. Players like that.
Exactly. And look, you can perform this strategy in Europe because you've got two legs. So you can do it over two legs and get a win. But when you're in 90 minutes, you can't really do that. And sometimes they play a 90-minute game against a big team in a sense that they are playing for a draw, like in the second leg of a Champions League or Europa League game, if you understand me.
Yeah. Two legs in Europe. That's what we'll be talking about next as the Europa League semifinals kick off on Thursday. Atletico traveling to London to face Arsenal. When the draw was announced, you were writing on Twitter about how Arsenal can win this. This is winnable. Explain how this is not so cut and dried for Atletico.
Because it's funnily enough, it goes back to this negativity as well. I think sometimes you know they might let Arsenal in that sense, and we've seen it before. So there's that factor, and just also just that Atleti, you know, are a good team, but they're not that good where they're, you know, impenetrable, and you can't get at them, you can't hurt them. They have got a surprise result in them. The defeat to Villarreal, the defeat to Real Sociedad. These things can happen, you know. And Arsenal, if you know, have probably got extra motivation even now since the draw has been made because of the whole Wenger situation.
Yeah, and don't underestimate the emotional boost that I think that can provide a team that Wenger finally announcing he's stepping down after 22 years. Don't underestimate what that can provide. Atletico do have that kind of shock away result in them. Their away form over the past 3 weeks has been dreadful.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, Arsenal can be a very good side when they want to and play some nice football. And they've got a lot of dangerous players, I think, and players who might not pass upon chances as much as some teams that Atleti play and they are countering in La Liga. And I think it's going to be a difficult tie for both sides, absolutely. I just don't think it's not 50-50. I'd probably give the balance a little bit more towards Atleti, absolutely. But Atleti can lose this time.
Yeah, I could see it. It's definitely not out of the question. Arsenal still have a good team. Let's not forget about that. And the fear factor isn't so pronounced with Atletico as it was maybe a couple of years ago. If this is a matchup in 2015-16, I'd say Atletico smash Arsenal. But the odds, I agree. I still think Atletico are the favorites, and I still make them the favorites to go through. I think Arsenal's style plays into what Atletico want them to do. Arsenal are going to have a ton of the ball. Atletico will be comfortable with that. But Atletico have won just one of their last six games on the road. The last time they kept a clean sheet away from home was against Malaga on February 10th. That's a long time.
Yeah, it really is. It's too long, I think. Absolutely. And it's something else you have to throw into the mix for this game.
Yep. Simeone trying to give players rest just wherever he can. It's tough to do that with the squad as limited as it is, with the numbers as small as they are. Griezmann got an hour off against Betis. He only played half an hour on Sunday, so he should be relatively fresh. Koke, the same situation. Correa was pulled on the hour, so if Simeone wants to start him, he probably could. How do you see the 11 shaking out?
I think it's pretty much picks itself. I think he knows his team right now, his best team. I don't think Thomas is going to start, and I would have liked him to start him in this game. I just think it's just going to be the regular 11 that we usually see from Atleti. I don't think there's going to be any major surprises.
No Costa though, and that's the blow, is that Costa's still out.
Exactly. It's a big factor. I think, and it's, I don't know. The way you look at it, I don't know, maybe you play an extra midfielder, I think, as opposed to going more positive and then hoping that, you can come back from the second leg potentially, so.
Yeah, that's everything I've seen says Costa will be ready for the second leg, but there was he was ready. There was talk that he was going to be ready for Sunday's game, and that obviously did not pay off. He's training alone still.
I'm glad he wasn't, because I think that would have been thrown him back in far too soon, and I think they've handled him badly in recent weeks anyway.
Yeah, because they've needed him. And, Simeone has just, maybe not worn him down, but Simeone has used him. He didn't play for 6 months, and it's tough to throw a guy back in like that, even though it's Costa. And at times, Costa is not human, but it's tough to throw him in and get him, a backup to speed like that with a snap of a finger. It's tough to do.
Exactly. He is. And I think they have to handle him better. And I think the fact that he is Diego Costa, he's this animal, he's this player who will run through brick walls, has meant that they've played him a little bit more than they should have. And Costa's not going to say, no, I don't want to play, boss, I'm not really feeling up to it, is he not? So then you kind of have to be sensible and just say, look, man, you're going to have to sit out in this one, and we need you with full fitness. We need, take an extra game off, take an extra two games off, just be fit for this big game.
I mean, that's just not really ever how Simeone has operated, though, has
it? It's bad, because you've got two thick skulls banging together. You've got Simeone and Costa banging together, and one of them is not going to back down, sort of thing, in terms of that. So.
Scoreline prediction for Thursday.
I'm just going to go and say it's going to be 2-1 to Atleti over both legs.
Gotcha.
I'm going to say in this first leg, probably is 1-0 to Atleti.
Ooh, I was going to say 1-1. I'm feeling a 1-1 vibe here. I mean, Atletico, they haven't kept a clean sheet on the road in more than 2 months. And it's going to be tough to go to the Emirates and do that. But Arsenal's defense does have its issues, and Arsenal's style of play, I think, plays pretty well into Atleti's hands. So unless Arsenal decide to give Atletico the ball, or they suddenly develop a stunning low block, I think Atletico can score at the Emirates, though, and that's really what the priority is getting a goal to take back to Madrid next week. And if they get a goal at the Emirates, I think they're in very good shape.
Yeah, I think so as well. And I think Arsenal's going to be quite positive and open in this game. So I think Atleti will get chances.
Yeah.
But that is if Atleti decide that they want to take both those chances, and that's sometimes the problem, I think, when talk about Atleti is the fact that teams do present opportunities to them, but they don't really take them because Atleti aren't on the forward foot, front foot enough.
That is very much true, and we'll see what happens Thursday. It's going to be exciting. I'm definitely looking forward to this. Parts of the Europa League have been kind of we'll watch it. It'll be fun, but this is like legitimately a glamour tie. This is a Champions League tie going down here in the Europa League semifinals. So should be pretty exciting. Before I let you go, David, you got anything to plug?
No, I mean, just follow me on Twitter and I guess that's it. And then you'll see everything I do there.
you do a lot. You are around.
Yeah. I'm here, there, and everywhere. But usually everything that is going on is on my Twitter. So that's probably just the best place to follow me, really. And you won't miss anything.
Gotcha. Oh, also, Sporting are doing pretty well, aren't they?
Yeah, and I'm glad. Obviously, I'm glad, but like, it makes me even more happy that the fact that our manager is a player, was a player that got me into Spanish football in a big way. I watched him as a kid, and I was like, I was in love with Balaha, and the fact that he's the manager of my team right now is pretty great. And I think Valencia have probably got a future manager there. Quite frankly, once this Marcelino era is done, I think Baraja is just set up to be their boss. I can already see it, and he's been fantastic. He's shifted the mentality of the club. He manages like he plays, very aggressive, very energetic. He is everywhere, and it's filtered through to the squad. It's not as young a squad as it used to be as when we first came up, a few years ago. But it's still there's some young players in there, and he's been fantastic. I just didn't expect the club to come up this season, and obviously we're still not up yet, and it's Segunda, and it's just the strangest division in the whole wide world.
Yeah.
And anything can change. Honestly, it is so tight, always. I'm pleased, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it very much looks like Sporting Gijón are coming back up, and yeah, that's great. El Molinón is a pretty cool stadium, and yeah, we'll be nice to see them back in La Liga after only a year away. And when we were talking a few months ago, I got the impression you thought it'd be much longer than just a year for Sporting.
Yeah, it was. Kim, and it was in a strange place, but Bala has changed. There's been a lot of things changed at the club.
Well, that is great news, David. We're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it. It's been great to talk to you, as ever.
Yeah, man, honestly, I've enjoyed it. And I can't wait to come back on again. And I'm sure we will, maybe after the Europa League final or something like that. That would be great.
Sounds good to me. You can follow David on Twitter at DavidJACA. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. That's JBBEREN. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. You can like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat. I always screw that up. On your favorite podcasting platform, that includes Apple Podcasts. Please leave a rating and review if you're there. And become a Colchonero Chat amigo at patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. From as little as a dollar a month, you can get some pretty cool Colchonero Chat exclusives and bonuses. No bonus pod today, but there very well might be one on Thursday, so keep your eyes peeled for that, Colchonero Chat amigos. Until next time, adios.